pedals. The topic is the Arba Banim, molding different types of children into one family unit. And it's all truth. I'm not the right person to discuss it. And I think the best person to discuss it is probably the Thaler family, Dr. Mond, Mrs. Mond, because they're the experts in really molding different types of children to one family unit. And I'm going to bring out maybe certain ideas that I've learned from them and bring it out in the Haggadah. And we're going to have this Shiel Zechad Nishmas, their son Yehuda Aryeh ben Yehoshua Yakir. Let's talk about different types of children. In all reality, everyone's different. The Rambam says, "Kishem she'ein parzufeim shavus, kach ein deoseim shavus." When you look at different people, every person has different facial features. Everyone's different. Everyone looks different. Everyone acts differently. And the Rambam says, because everyone really is different in their characteristics, in their mindset, in their thoughts, in their soul, so therefore they look differently. In other words, the physical appearance is a manifestation of the difference of a person's nefesh. So when we're talking about children different, we can talk about in a corporation, we can talk about in a business, we can talk about in a community, we can talk about in a, not just in a class, you can talk about any area of the world, how do you mold different personalities into one unit? And that's really the challenge of life, both in a community, in a family, as neighbors, or in a business, or any area of life. So it's really more broad-based than just a family or a parenting. It's really what life is all about. And if you take it a step further, the truth is that everybody has a different personality. We're all different. We're different in the morning. We have different moods, mood swings. We're pendulums constantly. Everyone has a mood swing. In the morning, I feel one way. When I'm tired, in the evening, I feel a different way. When it's cold, it's a different way. With certain people, I feel comfortable. With certain people, I'm uncomfortable. People react differently to different situations. So a person really is different personalities if you really want to bring it down. How do you mold the same person into one unit, into one personality, which is probably more difficult than molding different people into one unit. So that's really our challenge. And I'd like to go through the Haggadah a little bit and try to bring it together in Haggadah and learn a little about Chinuch, you know, really through the Haggadah. It's one of the greatest challenges of life because people really are different. And people are different, the Gemara says, Adam was nivri yechidi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created one individual. That means a person is an individual. He's not a unit. In the rest of the Bria, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created everything limi nehem, according to his species. Everything was created as 2, 4, 6, and multiplicity. Man was created alone, and then came Isha. Then came his wife, his spouse. And the reason is because Adam Nivri Yechidi, everyone is individual. And we have to really appreciate and respect everyone's individuality, but yet it's not to the exclusion of others. The Gemara says, as a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Chayiv Adam Loimar, a person always has to say, he's obligated to say and to feel, Bishvili Nivra, the world was created for me. But everybody has that right. It's for me, for you, for you, for you. Not exclusively, inclusively. In other words, the whole world's fitting for me as an individual. Yet, I have to deal with everybody else in the world together. So back to that challenge. How can we respect our children as a unit? Nevertheless, deal with them individually. And I believe most problems that people have in families in terms of children is either because we rob the individuality from them and we deal with them as a unit, and then they feel that they're being stifled, as every child eventually, as teenagers, will tell you, you are stifling me, yeah, and you don't deal with me as an individual, I have my own needs, and I'm sure youngsters say the same. And the other hand, if you deal with them individually, so then you don't have that cohesive unit of a family. And then, of course, it becomes a lot of strife the other way around, because it becomes jealousy. You're giving him too much time, you're giving her too much time, you know, where are my needs? So it's almost, either way you're going to deal with it, unless you have that exact science, it's bound to have strife, and it's true both in spouses, it's true in among siblings itself, and parents and children, and everyone's really different. Let's go through the Haggadah a little bit first, and we'll see how the Haggadah feels to deal with it in its first place. The first thing is that there are different approaches for different children. And that you see right away at the outset of the Haggadah, of course, it's the Arba Banim. It's a beautiful line. Kineged arba bonim divrei Torah. Echad chacham, echad rasha, echad tam, ve'echad she'en der lishon. That means, and each one has their own paragraph in the Haggadah. Each one has his question. Let's term that each one has his need. And each one has his answer. And now look in the Haggadah. That means there's an individual approach in the Torah. And the Torah, they're really verses. They're all psukim and chumash. There's individual approaches in the Torah for each one. Yet they're all sitting at the Seder together. So if you really want to find the source of dealing with individuals, yet all together as one, it's really the Haggadah. Of all places, it's the Haggadah. You can have the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'en Yodeh Lishol together at one table at a night, discussing, and each one really being part of the Seder. And so again, so we see it over here. First step. If you look in the Haggadah, it starts off Chacham Mahulaymer, Rasha Mahulaymer, Tom Mahulaymer, She'en Yodeh Lishol Ma'ap Sachlai. You can't say Mahulaymer because he's not saying anything. If I would be the Baal Haggadah, I would start off Chacham Aymer, Chacham Shoyel, Ma'a Eidus Rachukim Rav'Shpatim. Why is this a question? Chacham Mahulaymer, what is he saying? What's, say it straight out. Chacham Aymer, Chacham Shoyel, Rasha, Rasha Aymer, Rasha Shaya, whatever you want to say, Ma Vaida Zasachem, Tom, Ma Zais, Tom Shaya, and Shayna De Lishol, so then you're ready, Apsachloi. Why is it, this comes up with a question, Rasha Mao Aymer? You have this really a parallel in Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Klai Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu posed the question, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimcha. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking from you? And the pasuk finishes off, Ki'im Le'ira, only to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the Yira Shemayim, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do the mitzvahs. So Rav Chaim Volozhin asked a similar question. Why is the Moshe Rabbeinu starting off with a question? Let me just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoyal Mimcha, Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimcha Le'ira Isa, to fear him. Why have the question? Rav Chaim Volozhin says that a very important yisoid in chinuch, of our children, and really in dealing with other people. The first thing, before you have the statement of your child, or of a Klai Yisrael, first ponder, what do you think he wants? Because what he's going to say is not necessarily what he wants. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said, first Klai Yisrael, before I tell you what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, think for a second. From a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective, what do you think he wants? And the first thing you learn after you think, are you really naturally in sync with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Or are you really disassociated, disconnected naturally from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? If you come up with the right answer, so then you're really in sync, you're in communication. So that means you know a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you come up with a different answer, the one thing you learned right immediately is that you weren't in sync. And you have a lot to learn about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimcha. Think about it, then Moshe Rabbeinu tells us immediately the answer. Kim Le'ira or so, to fear him. Let's start with our children. Chacham Ma'alaymer. What is your child, the wise child, going to ask? If we think about it, we ponder, and we come up with the right question that he's going to ask us, one thing you'd be comfortable, you really know your child. But if you come up with a different answer that he's going to ask you, so then we really don't know our children. And it takes time to know our children. They're young, they're new to the world, they're new to us, really. A child's just as new to us as we're new to them. It's basically the same time. So the question is, we have to really learn to understand our children. So at that point, the burden's on us. It's not the child's fault. The child asks a question that you didn't expect. He's not at fault. I'm not saying we're at fault. But we have a lot to learn before the child has what to learn. So first comes the Chacham. Chacham Ma'alaymer. What is he saying? And it's interesting, it doesn't even say Mahu Shoyel. Mahu Aymer. Because a lot of times, our children's questions are really statements. They say a statement, and sometimes it's a statement that hurts. Sometimes it's a statement that, where are you coming from? But in reality, all it is really a question. Chacham Mahu Aymer. It's not definitive. And he says, Ma'a Eidus V'Achukim V'Mashpatim. That's his question. Rasha, Mahu Aymer. And think about the child of the Rasha. Ma'alaymer. Ma'avayda azayis lachem. Now, of course, the Mefarshim asks the question. It seems that the question of the Rasha and the question of the Chacham are similar. And Rasha, of course, there we make the deal. We imply lachem v'lolai. We could have said eschem v'lolai. So how do we know in the Chacham that he didn't mean to exclude himself? And we know by the Rasha, he meant to exclude himself. Maharal asked the question, many of the Farshim asked the question. But I think the real answer is because the parent knew the child. Chacham, the first word. It's not b'ni mahu aimer, ma' edus. Because it would be b'ni mahu aimer, ma' edus v'achukim v'amishpotim v'ashetzi v'ashem elkei chametzchem. And b'ni ma' avoida zois lachem. I would make the same implication. Lachem v'loloi, eschem v'loloi. But right away, it's talking about a parent who knows the child. He's the Chacham. He has that, let's call it, the bit of Russia in him. He's the Shedir Deir Lishol, and he's the Tom. And I hear, what is he going to ask? And already I know the Chacham means to include himself, even though his question was exclusive. He didn't mean it. He meant to include himself, because it's a smart parent. The Rasha, it could be he meant to exclude himself, or he meant to include himself, that he wouldn't have said lachem. If he would have said ma avoda zos lanu, so then even the child, the Rasha, meant to include himself. But since the parent knew that, he's not such a great child. He's the more difficult child. So when he said ma avoda zos lachem, lachem, he meant to exclude himself. It's again, a parent must know, we all must know, and it's true about our spouses also, our neighbors, but especially about our children, we must know their character, their traits, their personalities, and we really have to read between the lines to understand really what are they asking, what do they want. But usually, verbally, they're not expressive, especially a young child is not expressing, he's just learning how to express himself. I think that's the first step in the Haggadah, is really being in sync with the individuality of each child separately, and hearing him out, having the patience to hear the question, and reading between the lines. Now, let's take it another step before we go back to this. The She'eder de Elishol. Who's the She'eder de Elishol? Is he an age, an immature, or he's, let's say, a little slow, a little behind, which could be also immature? Or he has other difficulties, and it could even include the person who's disinterested. The laid-back child that's disinterested. He doesn't have the capacity, at this point at least, to express himself, or to ask. That's the She'eder de Elishol. I mean, we all have children at certain points are disinterested in certain areas of life. And remember, we'll get to that in a minute, but the She'eder de Elishol. So it could be immature, disinterested, too young. What happens to that child? So there you have to prod him a little bit. You open up the door for him. You didn't say right away, speak to him. But open it up for him. Try to get him to converse. Try to get him to say something. And he got it to Levincha. And then speak to your child. And you learn from him also that every child can be spoken to. It makes no difference what level of understanding, what level of association, what level of motivation. And that's why we take our infants and we could cuddle them and we speak to them. So the cutest things when you see a parent talking to a child that we assume the child has no idea what the parent is talking about. But the answer is, it's at psachle. It has an effect on the child. And the child hears the words. Eventually they learn the words. That's how they learn. That's the whole learning experience is from hearing the parent, the words of the parents, they pick it up, they absorb it. It's in the recess of their mind. Eventually comes out, hearing it many times over. So that's the mother's role, and that's why it says at, not ata. It's the mother. The mother starts to cuddle the child and to start to bring out his potential. Oh, psacho is bringing out the potential of that child. Again, it could be an infant, it could be a teenager, because depends where that she'eni yodeh lishol, in what level. And it can be in one subject and not another subject. Which brings me to another part. That what I said earlier, that we all have mood swings, we all have different personalities at different times. The truth of the matter is, we're probably all made up in different areas of the Arabah. In certain areas, we're all chacham, we're all wise. In our professions, we're wise. In things that our talents, we're wise in. And unfortunately, in certain areas, where we're shy. I mean, as the Gemara says, there's ain't tzadik baratz and shayasa tov lo yechta. There's no righteous person that doesn't have some type of fault. And that fault, we're Russians. Sometimes we're not so observant in certain mitzvahs. So we all have that tinge of Russia. Of course, it happened after the cheta of Adam Arishin, that he went after he was cheta. So there was a erev, there was a mixture of tov v'ra, of good and bad. So we all have that mixture. And in certain areas, we're all naive, we're simpleton. We don't have a full grasp. We might think we do. We might think we have vague. And that's another aspect of every human being. Can be in different areas. And in many areas, we're all ashamed of the elishal. That we really don't know how to ask, either because we're not interested in many subjects we're not interested in. Many areas we're not interested in. And it could be even different people we're not interested in. Many circumstances we're not interested in. Or in certain areas we're maturing, in some areas we're not maturing. So if you look at it, every individual, look at themselves, every individual is the Arba Bana. You know? And when you start to view it that way, first of all, it's a very healthy view of a person. If you view yourself like that, it's very healthy in dealing with other people. Because sometimes you might deal with the rush of the person, but you have to always remember there's the chacham of the person also. And there's the time of the person also. And of course, there's the shehandel ish of the person. Here, at the Seder night, so we're talking about in one area of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So at that point, it's very interesting. It could be four children, know your child, in the rush in other areas might have been a very big chacham. And in another area, he might have been a Shehu De'elishol. It came to the Yitzias Mitzrayim area. There's the point that he might be the Rasha. And one of the proofs to that is, at the end of the day, he's at the Seder table. So there has to be a very strong redeeming factor about this Rasha. He's sitting together with his brother, the Chacham, and he's sitting together with the Tom and the Shehu De'elishol with patience. And he's sitting all together, and that's really part of the solution which we're going to get to towards the end. But you have in every individual the Chacham, the Tom, Shehu De'elishol, and the Rasha. So in dealing with the areas, again, let's go over this again. In dealing with the areas of the Shehu De'elishol, so sometimes we have to start to open up his heart, open up his mind, open up the conversation, even if we believe he can't comprehend, because it doesn't say Amorlo Psachlai. Just start it, start it. No matter how, what level he's at. And in a very soft way, at Psachlai. And knowingly that in your hands is the potential to make him the future Chacham or the future Rasha. And I believe that's why you tell him the same answer as you tell the Rasha. They always ask the question the other way around. Why you tell the Rasha the same answer of the Shehu De'elishol? But the truth is you're telling the Shehu De'elishol maybe the same answer of the Rasha. And you're telling him that, hear carefully, that Ba'avu Zeh, Osa Hashem Li, it says in Mitzrayim, and be part of the Li. Be part of the Li, be careful. Be careful in life. And that's how the first training is. So that's a Shehu De'elishol. Let's talk, let's go back a little bit, and let's go into the Rasha. And the reason why I want to use the Rasha, because that's the most difficult child, and again, I don't want to call him the evil child, and you'll see why soon. But the difficult child, because in many areas he's probably a chacham, as I said, he's probably a tom, he's shehu de'elishol. In this area, he has a lack of emunah. And if I really wanted to put anybody against the wall, and I'm not going to do that, but if I really wanted to put anyone against the wall, and ask somebody, are we really a mamim b'emunah shleima b'viyas HaMashiach? Emuna Shleima means without any doubts. There's Emuna and there's Emuna Shleima. And no doubts at all. 100%. Which means as follows. Take it the year, we know that Mashiach must come by the year 6000. That's a given. Take it the year 5,999, 300, let's do the Jewish calendar, 353 days. And there's one day. That means he's coming tomorrow. There's no question in Halacha that he's coming tomorrow. We hope Achishena, we hope he's going to come earlier. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishev as HaKetz, he wanted Mashiach to come earlier. We also want Mashiach to come earlier. We went to East Yisrael Shrine earlier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring it early, but he has to come by that date. And now I ask you, let me borrow $100,000 for you, and I'll pay you back on condition that Mashiach comes. I'll pay him back in 2 days. And if he doesn't come, in fact, maybe I'll even, if we don't have the Issa Ribbis, I do a head to Iska, I pay back $200,000 in 2 days if Mashiach comes. But if he doesn't come, I'm not paying him back a penny. How quick are we to lend? If there's a doubt, well, maybe he won't come. What do you mean maybe he won't come? I need Mavi B'munashlim V'yis Mashiach. Or in all other Yigimel Ikrim, I need Mavi B'munashlim. In so many things, the answer is that, you know, relatively, I'm not knocking anywhere, we're all good. And we really believe in Munish Shlema with honest yonis. But in all of us, there's always that question. There's some subconscious of a doubt. Because we're all diverse personalities. That was after Adam HaRishon in one being. Well, what really happened over here to the Rosh at the table? He had questions in his Emunah Shalema, maybe, of his Emunah of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Like, Ma'avai, what's going on? What are you doing this? Who talks about Geula? Yeah, especially a person's in Golas. Who's talking about Geula right now? In the yeshiva, and it's not true today, in this generation, but many years ago, a boy would ask this in the yeshiva, he'd get thrown out. But he's questions in Emunah? We don't deal with questions in Emunah. But the answer is we all have questions in Emunah. Maybe we don't express it all the time. At the Seder table, we're asking almost to Russia. Russia, Mahu Reimer. We're asking our child, Russia, be expressive. What are you saying? And he's expressing his problems. He's expressing his doubts. But it didn't say he doesn't wear tefillin. It doesn't say he's not Shomer Shabbos. He's by the Seder table. In my life, and I'm a little older than most people here, that in my life, I never yet met a Russian. And I've met thousands of people. I never yet met a Russian. I've met many people that had, you know, tidbits of it, you know, points of it, but I've never met one. And that's the reason, because there's always a redeeming factor. Every child and every adult. Probably more in children than adults. But there's always redeeming factors. So I want to talk about the Russia because the Russia is the more difficult one to deal with. So he is, Ma Avoda Zos Lachem. And this is a new point in Chinuch. It says, Lachem Velo Lo, Lufisha Hoitzin Tzatzim, and Akla Kofi Beikah, we're all aware of that. And it says there, the Ata Hakeh Shina will go back to that. The Emelo Ba'avur Za'os Hashem Li B'tseisi Mitzrayim. Li V'lo Lo. To me, he took me out of Mitzrayim. Me and not him. Now, why don't you just say Ba'avur Za'os Hashem Li B'tseisi Mitzrayim V'lo Lo? What's Li? What am I doing with myself? He took me out and not him. It's irrelevant about me. We're not discussing me. Who's the father? Do I know what the father is? For I know the father also might be the Russia. There's no description about a father over here. There's no description about a mother over here. Ba'avor ze'os Hashem li b'tseis Mitzrayim. Li v'lo lo. And I think this is a lesson in chinuch. In dealing with our children, is that it has to, before we give them to Chacha, before we machanach our children, we have to be very careful, it's Lee. That I'm positive. That I'm the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take me out of Mitzrayim. That my Emunah is a step further than my child's Emunah. But if my Emunah is lower than my children's Emunah, or if my, let's call Midas, in an area is lower than my children's Midas, or whatever area of Ben Ado Malkum v'chaver be'odol l'makom. In any area of Torah mitzvahs is lower than my children's midas, I'm not the one to talk to my child. How can I talk to my child? Where's the role model? It's a simple lesson. We all know that. One has to be a role model. But it says it here in the Agada. I could talk about myself, Li. Ba'avua ze'asa Hashem Li. Li v'lolo. And I believe, I always understood it like this. That's what it says at the end. Yochum Rosh Chodesh. Maybe it's from Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Loimer Bayom Ahu, that day. If it's that day, maybe Rosh Yom. So maybe you doubt it. Talmud Loimer Bavuzeh Lo Amarti El B'Shosh Yismaso Umar Munachim Ufanecha. If I would be the Baal HaGadah, I would write, Bavuzeh B'Shosh Yismaso Umar Munachim Ufanecha. What's Bavuzeh? Because of this Lo Amarti Ella. I didn't say only when there's Matzo Umar Munachim Ufanecha. That's redundant. It's very poetic. But there's no necessity for poetry in the Haggadah. Ba'avur zeh b'shah sheitz matzo marom l'lecho v'necha. I think the Baal HaGadah is telling me this lesson again. Ba'avur zeh, because of the mitzvah Pesach matzo marom, we left Mitzrayim, lo amarti, I didn't say it, except when there's a role model, when it's concrete, when there's matzo umarom l'lecho v'necha. It's not that just the parent has to be the role model. That's li v'lo loy. But it has to be the house has to show it. There's a matzah. A child learns by example of actions and by example of things in the house also. When he sees the matzah, he can relate to the matzah. When he sees the morrow, he can relate to the morrow. He can't relate to words. Of course, today in education, that's the audiovisual. And audiovisual plays a very major role in education. It's, some people say, something of our century. In all truth, it's something of Chazal. And we learned many times in Chazal, Oishis Machkimus, reading inside. Reading inside is audiovisual. It really is. It's not just hearing something. But having the matzah, having the morah, tasting the matzah, tasting the morah. The Siman of Rosh Hashanah. The Jewish home is the greatest visual, and the Jewish parent who speaks to the child is the greatest audio. Put that together, you have audio visual. You separate the parent, and the parent is not the li, and you only have the visual, you feel. You have the audio, the parent's talking, they talk about themselves, but they can't see, the child has to see something. And then, of course, there's also failure. So you have li, and lo amarti ela, v'shar she'es matzo, umaru menachu v'necha. Of course, you know, obviously, when people have books, magazines, call TV, I'm going to call internet, and we speak out against it, but we have it in the home, the child can never deal with that. You know, trust me, from all my experiences in life and dealing with children, children can't deal with contradiction. It's the hardest thing. Now, normally, as an adult, we'll say, if you can't deal with contradiction, so you rise above it. A child, when he can't deal with contradiction, lowers himself to the lowest common denominator. Never, the child has a difficulty in rising above something simply because he doesn't see it. We, mature people, can rise above things because we can visualize it in our minds, we've heard about it, you know, we're mature, we can see the far future. A child can never rise above something, and you can't expect it from a child, and if we do expect it from a child, he will rebel ultimately. He'll always go to the lowest common denominator. So it's extremely important that you have both the li in the family, and you have also, simultaneously, b'shosh she'is matzo, umar v'nachlu v'necha, be it on Pesach, and be it in any area of Jewish life. Okay, went off a little bit. Let's go back to the Russia, and as we're going to formulate how we take the individual, again, personalities in the home, and even in the person himself, and combine it into one healthy unit or one healthy being. Before we go there, also you have over here the haka shinov, to blunt his teeth. And sometimes a parent has to smack a child or hit a child, but I believe the purpose of that is not punishment. It's a feeling I have, it's not punishment, but you don't have to punish by smacking. But there are many other ways of punishing. Sometimes it's just to make him aware of something. Is that, you know, to when you strike a child, so at that point he's becoming extremely aware of what's going on. It's like a shock, you know, shock treatment. And he stops for a second and starts to think. Smacking without explaining, I don't believe really works. Smacking without explaining will hit it. I don't mean the heart smack, you know, a little patch, you know. But without explaining is meaningless. That's a punishment to a child, and that's terror to a child, and that you beat up your child. But if you hit, or a small little touch, and then you explain it to them, then already that's a shock treatment that allows them now to relate, to communicate with the child, explain exactly what happened. So that's the hakeshina of the emulet. And you tell them. You immediately tell them. Explain to them. What do you tell them? Baba ze osa shem li b'tzeis Mitzrayim, leave lo loy, ilu hoya shem lo hoya nigla. It's like the worst thing to tell a child. If you would have been there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. That's wonderful. You're sitting by the Seder. You're not part of our family. You're not part of it. And he's looking at you like, what are you talking about? I'm here right now. And this question bothered me for years. He's here. He's sitting. Especially if we look the way we learned. Is that he's left after that real Russia. So what's going on over here? And you know your child. Really, if you would be there, is that a great chinuch? If you would be there, you would never be niggle. I personally, it's hard for me to believe that's good chinuch. Yeah? And I was brought up by a European father, but it was all still positive chinuch, not this negative chinuch, not this threats. So what is it? So I believe as follows, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful B'nai Yisosfa. And it's Kedai, I think, for everyone to know this. Let's go back into that Pasuk, the Pasuk of the Rasha. When your children will come to you one day, it's a prophecy. The prophecy, your children, plural, not just child, your children one day will come and say, Ma avoda zeslechem. That's the question of the Rasha. So it gives a different answer here. And then it finishes off. And what happened was, they bowed their heads, and they did a full bowing. You know, Klal Yisrael. They thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they bowed. Question is, they bowed? Why did they bow? Rashi says, they bowed over here, because it was a besura sagu'ula, because now they were told there's going to be redemption. For they're going to be in Geula one day. Ubiyas Aretz, they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Ubesuras Habanim Shiulahem, and because they're going to have children. And you start to think, children? This is the child who's a Russia. They're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point. Vayikar Am, Vayishtachavu. They're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're bowing. Because they're going to have children who are going to ask, Ma Avodah Zeslechem. The child lives in Russia. And that's extremely hard to understand. Chassam Sofer asked this question in one of his tshuvas. What's Hishtachava of the surah of Bonim Rishon? So the Nei Sosna says an unbelievable thought. And he says as follows. He says the Gemara in Ksuvis, Tachnun Gimel, I believe says as follows, that don't, when you're talking inheritance, don't shift your inheritance, don't write off a child, and shift your inheritance from one child to another child. Even from the evil child to the tzaddik, to the righteous child. Why not? Never write somebody off the will. Why not? He says, because you never know what type of children your children are going to have. You could have a child who's maybe a Russia. He'll get married. First of all, we don't know what's going to be the future in general about the child himself. But he'll get married. And his children might be tzaddikim. Even if Rachmanu Litzlan he's not from, his children might rebel against the parents, just like he rebelled against his parents. So you're going to have great-grandchildren or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren with tzaddikim from the Russia. Don't write them off. That's a Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Nun Gimel. Also, you know, you don't know from the child who's the tzaddik. You're giving everything to the child who's the tzaddik. You don't know what's going to be with his children. Who knows what's going to be in the future? Never write off. That's what the Gemara says. Never write off a child. He says as follows. He says, they're going to be children. And there's a reality. They're going to be children who also are not perfect. With a lot of imperfections. And they might even be rishoyim. Be happy with that. Because ultimately you might see nachas from it. You will see grandchildren who are good. You'll see great-grandchildren who are good. And they might even turn good. And then he says, that's a beautiful thing. He says that, what are we saying? If he would have been there, this Russia, he wouldn't have been redeemed. That's right, but he's here. He is redeemed. Why is he redeemed? We're saying the Rishon are not redeemed. The answer is because at that time, he came from a tzaddik at the time. If he would have been a Rosh at the time, he'd see Sitzrayim in his genealogy, and that's really from the parent already, he wouldn't be here today. So the answer is he came from good stock. He came from good parents. He came from great-grandparents. He came from stock all the way up. He came from good stock from Yetzias Yisrael. That's embedded in him. So he is here. If he's here, that means there's potential. Let's take that a step further in dealing with our difficult children. And saying as follows. It says, leave a low light. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigo. Li, I would write, li velo lecha. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to my child. Li, ba'avuza osa Hashem li b'tzeisi mitzrayim. Li velo lecha. Me and not you. Ilu hayisa. If you would be there, lo hayisa nigo. We're talking about to another person. Ilu hayasham, as if he's not here. He's here. The worst thing to do, I think, one of the worst things, it's on my list of worst things, is to talk to about a child in front of his face as if he's not there. You're ignoring the child. That's active ignoring the child. Yeah, that's it's cause for rebellion. It's not cause, it's cause for strife. It doesn't create unity. And over here, leave a lie. The answer is, you're talking to your child. But your child, now let's put everything together for a few minutes. Every child, as far as I'm concerned, has that, let's call it the nekuda, the point of a chacham, a point of a rasha, a point of a tam, and a point of a shenandel l'shol. Every human being has that, from after the chet of Adam HaRishon, all the generations until today. And everyone has a point in them that, if that point would have been manifest itself, they wouldn't have been in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everyone has that, maybe not 100% of Unish Leila. In one area of the, you can, it could be maybe in a different area. It could be in the foundations, we have it, but maybe one of the mitzvahs. So what he's doing is, he's talking to that nekuda, the child, I'm talking to you. That point of rishis that you have, that you don't have belief, if that point would have really been a reality, it would be your defining factor, would be the description of you. So it wouldn't be, you wouldn't have been nigga, it wouldn't have been nigga. That description of you is not nigga. Leave alone, not talking about you, not talking about that part of you that's discussing you, that's coming out, the outside force, the Yetzirah in the person. Ilu hayasham, if that Yetzirah would have been really, you know, manifest itself, be strong at the time, would have been expressed at the time, that Yetzirah wouldn't have been here. Therefore, be careful, don't be that person, because you're not that person. I just paraphrased the famous line saying that when you talk to a child, you're a good child, you're doing silly things, you're doing bad things. We don't tell a child you're a bad boy. You're a good boy. And it's not proper, it's inappropriate for a good boy to do improper, inappropriate, or bad things. The child is good. Sometimes his actions are not. And that's what's the source of that? That's the Haggadah. I think this is the Haggadah. Leave below lie. That you're good. You're good. The Russia. You're good. Because many years you're Chacham, you're Tam, and Shein Elishol. You're good. Leave below low. That aspect that somehow is talking, the area that you're talking about, that's not so good. You're speaking inappropriately. Elo hayashom, if that inappropriate talk would have been really you, so then, or would have been there, that inappropriate talk is not worthy of gula. Don't talk that way. And why then, you could go back to the atzaflay, they got to vincha, baba zasha, some libitzisai, and then you continue on, and talking to the child, who's the Rasha. So now we have, let's go back to the original question, now we have the Arbabanim, we have it's true in every individual, it's true amongst all the Arbabanim, and everybody's really good, everyone's diverse, but everyone has a good nukud in him, and we have, I think, very good chinuch rules in dealing with our children, and it's all nagada. But now, how do you unify it? So I'll tell you something very interesting. I think it says it in nagada also. I think it says three things in nagada. And it's as follows. Let's talk about in school first. You go to school, you go to a class, you go to first grade. If children are first grade, they have a first grade textbook. Second grade, they have textbooks for second grade. The worst thing you can do for your child, get on the list of worst, is give your second grader a first year, first grade textbook. Again, he's insulted. Well, they're not a first grader. They can hardly walk with their first graders, or their siblings who are first grader. I'm older, I'm mature, I did it, I know it. It's insulting. You know, you give a third graded book, he can't do it. It's also a problem because you're challenging him in a way that he can't handle it. Of course, it will hurt his self-esteem. So you have to tailor-make everything for children. We can't tailor-make everything for every individual, unfortunately. But we, age groups, abilities, capacities, that's what we do. So there's the first grade, there's the second grade, there's the third grade. And today, of course, there isn't. The first grade is advanced first grade, and there's a little below the bar, a little above the bar. You know, and there's some text for that. And that's what every child needs, his own text. It's high school, college, you know, post-college, wherever it is. Every book is on his level. One of the probably biggest businesses in America is textbooks. And they change every year. That's the scenario in school. That's the scenario in a business. The scenario in a house of reading books. Sometimes you'll have the teenager take the books from the past and read a first grade book. But normally, the first grader reads books. And same thing with games. It's all separate. Take another scenario. In a very serious scenario, you walk into shul, Shabbos by day, and it's, let's say, 9:30, and they're up to Kriya Satayra. And there you have the five-year-old looking into the same chumash, you know, he could hardly read, as the 10-year-old who could read, as the 15-year-old who could understand it, as the 20-year-old, as the 30-year-old, as the 50-year-old who's heard it many times, as the 70-year-old grandfather, great-grandfather, all listening to the same text, the same words. And take a base of measures. You have a first year, second year, third year, fourth year, kailo, the post-kailo rebellion, all studying the same text of Gemara. Isn't it interesting? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has the ability to speak to every individual on his level. You cannot have that, you cannot duplicate that in anything in the secular world. But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that. And the Chachamim, same words, has so many dimensions. The Shivim Panim LaTorah, 70 facets to the Torah. So many pshatim, so many understandings, and feel the same thing. That same siddur speaks to everybody individually. Rav Chaim Volozhin says, if you take 100 people in the same shul, each one has a different kavana. Every time he davens, and every individual has a different kavana, simultaneously with the davening. What affects them, same words speak to different people. And it's again, only Chazal could do it. And that's what it really says over here. Keneged Arba Banim, Dibra Torah. The Torah has the ability to speak to all four banim, all four types of children, all different levels, mature, immature, Rasha, Chacham, and the top, and the Shade of the Elishal. And what I'm trying to bring out is that when we build a Torah to go home, and we speak Torah in the house, every child, no matter how different he is, can partake in it. And at a Shabbos table, it's extremely important for people to say Divrei Torah, stories of Chazal, stories about Gedolim, because everyone affects everybody from child to adult. And if you can figure out Dvar Torah that hits all the children on different levels, what happens at that point is you're bringing everyone together as one. The Maharal says the reason why a shul is called the Beis HaKnesses, because it's a Lashon Knesia. Knesia means assembly. Well, assembly home, it sounds like reform. You know, assembly home. And he says the answer is because what's so special about a Beis HaKnesses is it can take so many diverse different Jews with different personalities, different wants, and puts them together on one goal. What's that goal? Avodas Hashem. And it makes no difference what level it is. It can be the youngster, it can be the adult. They're together in Avodas Hashem. And when there's a Avodas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, and each one hears it on their level. I think only a Jewish home, and a firm home, really has the ability to take diverse personalities and bring them together as one. This question, how do you take different personalities and mold them into a family unit, is a question that cannot be answered by the Goyim. It's a question that has a difficulty being answered by people who are not from. It's a question that doesn't begin in a Jewish home. Because Torah is the only thing that could unify a family together as one. We think it's magical, and the answer is it really is. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. It's above nature. It's divine. Does it make sense? Probably not. But it works. And dealing with a lot of, unfortunately, over years, dealing with teenagers who had past up and down, but when they hear the Torah, they still remember that Torah from the past. It might have had a direct impact, you know, at the time, but it's still on their mouths, still in their minds, they absorbed it, and it has a very strong effect to them, and it connects them to their families. It has nothing to do with Musa. We're not talking about Musa right now. We're talking about Divrei Torah. Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. Second thing, the same concept, is that it's a wonderful thing. I say that now, I don't always really say it, when a father and son are in shul together and following the Chumash together. Because that's connection in Torah. You know, when a father and parent learns with a child, Torah, you're connecting to the children. And when you learn with all your children, even separately, each one, you're connecting, and then they all connect together, because Torah connects. When you learn at the Shabbos table is the most beautiful time, or at the Pesach, or the Agava. The same words of Sibur Yisrael speaks to everybody. That's one thing, and it's a very strong movement. Second thing, and that is that if you look, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Torah La'ama Yisrael Baruch Hu. It says four things. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenosan Torah L'Ama Yisrael, Baruch Hu. And some learn is that each Baruch is corresponds to another of the children. Chacham is one Baruch, Rasha is another Baruch, the Tam is another Baruch, and the Shem Derelishol is another Baruch. When you look at each child, and you see the blessing of the child, the positive aspects, and you know you're blessed by having the child. So again, you're creating a family unit. Because you know what? You're all the same to me. To me, you're all my bracha. You're not my problem child. You're not my challenge. You're not my slow child. You're not my crazy child. You're not my wild child. You're my bracha. You are the biggest blessing in my life. And when A hears that B is a blessing, and B hears that A is a blessing, and A hears that A is a blessing, it's also important for A to hear A is a blessing, and B hears that B is a blessing, so they have a very strong common denominator. What is that? My parent loves me, is proud of me, respects me, will do anything for me, and he will do anything, or she will do anything, and loves and respects my sibling. So I know that I'm special, and I know my sibling is special. And that has a strong statement. And children absorb that. Children are much more savvy. They absorb much more than we think they do. Leave the laws and the law marti al bishah sheishmatzu mar minachu v'necha. They're very aware of our connotations, our feelings, the way we deal with people. And if you had to do it, one name for all children. Baruch, 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 baruch. That's it. And then you have the individualities. And you work with individualities. And yes, and every child needs his special time. But everyone needs family time. And I want to tell you, I'm a person who doesn't have that much time. But one thing I do is Cholamayit, I spend time with my children. I go on the Cholamayit trips as much as I don't like it. But I go on those Cholamayit trips, and it's for one reason only. It's family time. And it's the greatest thing in the world. Family time. That takes the different personalities and puts them together. And we're doing things as a family. And sometimes, tell my children, today we're doing what A wants, tomorrow we're doing what B wants, and of course, the next day we're doing what C wants, but one thing for sure, nobody's doing what I want. And they get the message. And it's my pleasure. And when children hear that, there's family time and there's individual time. That molds individuals. Doesn't mean never tell a child why aren't you like your sibling. The minute you tell a child why you're not your sibling, you're not creating unity. You're creating disunity. You're separating the two. You are like your sibling, not in every area. But you are, because you're both children, and you're both my bracha. It's a very important message to children. And I think the most important message is right here, probably the strongest word to me in the Haggadah. And it says it all. It says, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas, and Torah, Lama Yisrael, Baruch Hu, yes. It's all the blessings of the four. But here it goes. Keneged Arba Banim, children. They all have one common denominator. Not just my bracha. They're my children. The Chacham is my child. The Rosh is just as much my child. And the Tam is just as much my child. And the She'ena De'elishon, as much as separate he is, he's my child. And if they're my children, so they're obviously naturally connected one to another. But if you want to take it one step further and think about this, is that not only is my child, he's also my sibling. And so I think, what? How is my sibling? Because we're all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. We are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that area, we're really equal. And so we do have a certain sibling relationship with our children, only in dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a child realizes that, so again, it's another time, it's another bound of the unity that we have with our children. And then, of course, we're all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, we all sit at the Seder together, and of course, they're my children also. And that's why, really at the outset of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the formation of a nation, of Klal Yisrael, and nations by definition have diverse personalities, and really diverse ideals, the first mitzvah is a mishpacha, mishpacha. You take the cell base of us, cell of bias. It's a mitzvah of getting families together, building the family unit of diverse personalities. And if we focus on that, this Pesach, and then we continue it every Shabbos, and we continue it every day of the week and throughout our entire lives. So we will have a lot of talent, a lot of diverse talent in our families, a lot of achdus. And Yisrael Hashem will see nachas from all our children. Thank you.